When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Yes, it is me. I am back for another week of some fun with you. I am so glad you've come along with me, because otherwise I'd be all by myself, and it wouldn't be any fun. But having you along for the fun makes it all the better. So thank you for taking the time to download, taking the time to listen, and to join me in the fun. I'm going to do things just a little bit differently. I'm trying out some new format. I have wanted to make this seem a lot more like a radio show. The problem with this is being able to play songs that would be, you know, they'd have copyright, you know. So I started doing some searching around the public domain to find some music that I could actually play as part of the show. And, boy, I tell you what, we do some retro, but we're back to have some serious throwback with some songs I will play along the course of the show. But I'm going to try it out, and y'all let me know what you think of having some of these songs in the show. I hope that you enjoy them. They're going to be like old 1920s, 1930s recordings of folk songs. When I was digging around, I even found like the collection of World War I songs that were in public domain, Civil War songs in the public domain. A lot of different stuff. And I'm thinking, you know, this might be just a fun thing, just every once in a while, just between segments to play one of these songs. So, like I said, I hope you enjoy it. I hope I enjoy it. I like some old retro stuff. Other than that, though, the main focus I have for today is Knuckles. Knuckles has premiered, the series, by the way, on Paramount Plus. I have finally got a chance to sit down and watch the entire series, and I will tell you what I thought of it. Plus, I went and pulled up some articles and some stuff about Knuckles to give a little bit more history, because honestly, I've only played, I think, the first two Sonic games from back when I was a kid, and then I really haven't had much Sega in there. I've got some Sega collections on the PlayStation and my Xbox, but I haven't really played a lot of the Sonic games. And when they went to a more of a 3D thing, I thought, well, that's not quite, you know, like Mario. When Mario went 3D, I just didn't have as much fun with it. I'm not really into 3D platforming, and I'm not very good at even a 2D platformer, to tell you the truth. So I've kind of fallen off of them. So I don't know a lot about Knuckles other than what they've presented in the film, the second Sonic film, and also this series. So I thought I would do a little bit of research on who is Knuckles and some of the history of Knuckles and everything. And hopefully you don't know much either, and so you can play along with me and learning new things, and we'll just have some fun. But what have I been watching? Well, like I said, I was watching Knuckles. So what have I been playing? Well, yes, I'm still playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth on a second playthrough, trying to pick up a few extra trophies, trying to level it. Well, actually, I did succeed yesterday. I've still got everybody leveled up to 70. So I will eventually, you know, I'm playing another playthrough just to play through the story. But I'm going to try to do this on hard mode. I have my doubts about my ability to do it because there are certain Colosseum events, battles that I am not getting through. I'm struggling on, even when I hit level 70 out there, I'm struggling on a few of these boss battles. I mean, some of the stuff is tougher to achieve, but I'd like to see if I can do it. And then after that, I will jump on to Final Fantasy 16, which is sitting there waiting for me. And I've had the thought, you know, I really should go back to that Kingdom Hearts game. I'm going to have to start over. And you know what? Just for the heck of it, I'm going to put that on easy mode because I kind of struggled on Kingdom Hearts, and I am not afraid to admit that I'm going to put it on easy and I'm going to try it out that way. Part of what frustrated me about Kingdom Hearts is I would get lost trying to figure out where to go, and then I have to keep re-entering a room, and every time you enter a room, you're not allowed to leave until you've fought everything that's in that room. and I got really tired of it. So I'm like, you know, if I put it on easy mode, I could probably take everything out in that room pretty quickly and move right along. Because that really drove me up the wall. And I've got the collection that's like everything from Kingdom Hearts 1 through 2 and everything in between. And I thought I should give that another go. So after I do Final Fantasy 16, I think I'll jump on that. And that should hopefully keep me busy throughout the summer with something to play, right? So, because I do not have money to spend on any more games right now. Right now I'm saving up. I'm still trying to get myself an Aerith action figure. I'm actually starting to get a collection. I did find some inexpensive eBay ones, and I did find a figure that's right here staring at me on my desktop. Those of you who maybe have found me for real, found my actual Facebook account, will see that I've just even updated my cover photo that has a picture of Aerith there with a Funko He-Man that I found in a little package, and a little Chocobo, and of course Steamboat Willie on my I don't know what you call this type of calendar where you have the little dice that you swap out the numbers, but I have that here on my desktop. And so I took a little snapshot, put it up as my cover photo, but this is an Aerith figure that's, I don't know how old this figure actually is, and I went ahead and I took it out of the package, not sure how long this was sitting in storage, but it's the 1997 style. It's based on the actual artwork, and it's got a picture of the artwork on the box, and I've kept the box. I mean, I could slide the back panel, I don't know if that's the right word, the backing, though, I could slide it out of the plastic after I, you know, use an X-Acto knife and I cut some tape away, so I could take the figure out and put it out here, but I still have the box with a nice artwork, because I usually like to keep stuff on the box and display and hang it on the wall, and I had a spot to really hang this, but I wanted to get the figure out because the plastic in the front was a bit discolored, and I mean, the packaging is a little faded. I mean, I don't know how long this sat in storage before somebody decided to sell it on eBay, but so I've got it, and I thought it'd be fun to put it out, because even the other figures I'm planning to order, I'm going to take out of the box, I'm going to display them, which is different for me. I normally keep stuff in the box. I got all kinds of He-Man figures on the wall, and DC Comics characters and Marvel characters and Star Wars figures and all this stuff hanging on the walls in their package. And that's the way I kind of like them, because they're easier to display that way. But there are some things I'm taking out. I mean, I've got a Robin Hood and Prince John from the Disney film that Philip got me for Christmas. And I took them out of the box and they're standing on the shelf there, right next to an Indiana Jones Boulder Escape figure that I got. Well, it's a Funko figure that I've kept in a box. My Funkos, I generally keep them in the box because I don't know. They're just they display nicely that way. I have a lot of stuff mainly inbox, but I get a few things out mainly if I get a duplicate of something, or if something is really nicely posable, or if the box doesn't have a way that you can display it. Like I've got the Super Friends collection. There was a Marvel Legends thing, not Super Friends, Spider Friends, basically Spider-Man and his amazing friends. So it's Iceman and Firestar and a Spider-Man figure. The way they were boxed, the box is really cool, but you couldn't display the figures that way. So I went ahead and took them out and posed them. I do have some fun taking some stuff out of package. So I'm kind of a mixture of things. I keep a lot of stuff in, you know, but and I'll get a duplicate if I want to display a figure. Like a lot of my He-Man figures, I did buy two of them so I could get some out of the package, and we've got a nice little display going on and that kind of thing. But yeah. So anyways, but I feel like I've been babbling on about that, but that's kind of what I've been doing this week and what I've been playing. You know what? For fun, let's have a sample of some songs, or a song, and let's go ahead and play it right now.
Floating on the brain. Act one begun. Dialogue that would you like to do? Mind you, with you, underneath the silvery moon. By the
spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
Okay, you might know that this year is the 40th anniversary of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles original comic book release, so we've had them for 40 years. And there's a lot of neat merchandise coming around because of that. In fact, there's Playmates is about to release some sort of updated versions of the classic toys. Basically, I mean, they look like the classic toys, but they've added a bit more color design to them. And like their weapons actually have different colors. They're not just, you know, brown pieces of plastic. So I am hoping to get those definitely when those come out, and a lot of other different fun things coming out. There's even, of course, the Masters of the Universe Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle crossover. Turtles of Grayskull, I believe they're calling it. I haven't really wanted to get that many of those. I mean, some of them are kind of neat, but they have a merman that looks really cool with what they've done. So I am kind of interested in that one. But I might get some of the turtles, you know, that are, you know, Michelangelo's wearing a wig to try to look like He-Man and stuff. That's kind of fun. So I might end up getting a few of those. But right now, like I said, I'm saving up for an Aerith figure that's going to cost me like $178 after shipping, you know, because I have to buy it directly from Square Enix. So I am going to be saving up for that after I've, you know, finished purchasing the cheaper ones. Some new figures coming around. We just found this. Okay, so this is a WWE crossover with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So you got like Kofi Kingston as Michelangelo, Roman Reigns as Shredder, and Xavier Woods as Donatello. These are some images that were released. They're kind of neat. They come, you know, they got like some removable gear so you can get them in the wrestling, you know, to look like wrestling. So Kofi has like a jacket that looks like a turtle shell. And he's got even different hands. He's got like green gloves where the fingers, like I guess finger gloves coming out. But this is wave one is these three figures. I figure we're going to see some of the other turtles, some of the other characters popping up. I think Roman Reigns as Shredder is kind of fun. Now, Philip did send me a photo like he thinks Cody Rhodes would make a good turtle figure. And he hasn't seen that. But, you know, that might be coming. I don't know. This is only wave one. So we'll just see what happens of that. So Star Wars Episode One, The Phantom Menace had a 25th anniversary release and actually got $8.08 million in the domestic box office over the weekend, which is pretty impressive for an older movie. Now, they did have something similar to that happen. Spider-Man 2, when they re-released that, apparently also did very well in the box office, even competing with current movies. I haven't gotten a chance to go out and see those with money being what it is and the economy being what it is. I don't get an opportunity to go out and see movies as often as I used to, even though there's stuff out there I'd like to go see. We just don't really have that side money to go out and see these type of movies, unfortunately. Granted, of course, I own both of those digitally and on, you know, DVD, Blu-ray, that kind of thing. So I could sit and watch them at home, but it is fun to go out in the theater. And I think everybody's proven it that, hey, if the good movie is worth going out there. Something else that just popped up today, James Gunn shared a look at David Corenswet, who's playing Superman in his new Superman film, which I think he's just going to call Superman. Looking at the photo, and I did share this on the Fandom Nexus fandom Facebook group page, and it's there. He's kind of putting on boots. Looks like his costume's gotten a little dirty. And outside the window, there's this thing, this round thing. Looks like it's firing a ray. And Superman looks a little casual putting on this boot. And I'm like, dude, you best hurry. There's something going on there. Metropolis is in trouble, man. Come on. It is kind of neat. He does seem to have a bit of the Superman curl going on. Philip, I know, really liked the costume. I kind of look at it. It looks more like he's got a Z than an S. I mean, this is, you know, I guess trying to look for Kryptonian lettering. It looks like we've also added some texture into the blue and even into the boots. I will always be a fan of the classic Christopher Reeve style costume, but this does look pretty cool. So I'm sure we'll learn a lot more about this later on. Surprise bit of news, also from Variety, Michelle Yeoh is set to star in a Blade Runner 2049 sequel series on Amazon, $20.99. Now, I don't really see anything on Amazon. I don't have an Amazon Prime account, so I don't really see any of these things there. But, you know, we all know Michelle Yeoh. I think the first thing I saw her was Tomorrow Never Dies, I believe? A James Bond film. She was a Bond girl. And then, of course, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. She's, of course, been in Memoirs of a Geisha, Crazy Rich Asians, and, of course, most recently, Everything Everywhere All at Once. She even popped up in a Witcher Blood Origin series. That's interesting. And, of course, Star Trek Discovery and Star Trek Section 31 that she's been over at Paramount, which I have not watched either of those. But her in a Blade Runner series could be fun. As she's getting older, she's still getting a lot of fun things to do. Isn't that nice? Also, Variety has reported that Bob Iger is talking about for Marvel to release no more than 3 movies and 2 shows per year, trying to pull back because really they're losing money on these things and putting them out, you know, and maybe they're oversaturating the market. They've tried to say that, oh, well, people just don't have the attention span. We've heard that excuse being given by certain filmmakers, you know, the brothers that have brought us a few Captain America movies. And didn't they get to do some Avenger movies? I don't remember, but I'm not thinking their names. The Russo brothers, though, have said, oh, well, people just don't have the same attention span. It's like, no, the problem is they're just not making any good movies. So maybe if they back off a little, they'll start making some better movies. I don't know, but you have to make something that actually gets people excited and wants to go see. So, yeah, I think that's a bit more of the problem than probably what they're considering. But that's all the news that I saw fit to share this week and everything. So let's move on to the trailer park.
Mama, now the gator got in the house.
Now the gator? Give me that shovel. Come here.
Get him all. Get that gator.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
Space. Time. It's falling apart. The building blocks of the galaxy are getting mixed up.
This doesn't make any sense.
Worlds will change. People will change in ways we cannot possibly imagine.
I don't love that.
This is wild.
X-Wing TIE Fighters?
Ewok Bounty Hunters?
Misa going to hurt you, sir.
Darth Jar Jar?
Coming to Disney Plus December the 13th, Lego Star Wars Rebuild the Galaxy. Yeah, everything topsy-turvy and weird. That's pretty much what that is. So, yeah, I'm kind of curious. This could be fun. Lego Star Wars is generally fun. So, you know what? I will definitely give this a shot and take a look at it. A couple other trailers I want to share with you here. Of course, another Star Wars, The Acolyte.
Last night, a Jedi was murdered.
The Jedi justify their galactic dominance in the name of peace.
But that peace is a lie.
Jedi are being hunted.
She was my student. I trained her. Let me be the one to bring her in.
I sense this is only a small part of a larger plan. Some sort of shift to tip the scales.
It's time to face the past.
Destiny is not decided for you by an anonymous force. If you want to pull the thread and change everything, then pull it.
What are you?
So June 4th, we're going to get a 2-episode premiere of Star Wars The Acolyte. The only description they have on Star Wars' official YouTube channel, it says, no one is safe from the truth. The 2-episode premiere of The Acolyte, Star Wars original series, as I said, arrives June 4th on Disney+. Right now, here on the official Star Wars YouTube channel, has 65,000 likes and 113,000 dislikes. People don't really seem to have a lot of hope in this. I'm enough of curious that I'm going to give it a shot and I will watch. I
And I didn't really get through Ahsoka. I probably should. I've been told, there's not a lot of Star Wars series I'm watching anymore. It feels like the specialness of Star Wars has kind of gone away. Like the luster of the original trilogy has just been beat senseless. I did, though, on Star Wars Day, I did go through and watch the original film. Of course, it's a special edition version that I was able to purchase, so it's altered. But the alterations to the original film, I don't think were so bad. I kind of liked what they did with that one, adding some deleted scenes. I mean, yeah, it's a little goofy with Jabba's tail getting stepped on, and really they altered even again Guido and Han's scene. I was like, golly, leave it alone. Could we just go back to the old way and Han shooting first? But it was fun to be able to just sit and watch it. All right, we got a final trailer for Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Son, your father, he waits.
Much to learn, much to teach. There are dangers beyond our village.
What a wonderful day!
Secrets.
I have a name. May. I know where they're taking your clan.
You chose a human over an ape.
This was a human place.
It is not yours.
It is now, isn't it? The elders did not tell us everything about this world. Nor bend for your king. Never. Get tickets now.
So May 10th, this comes to theaters in 10 days as of time of recording. They're saying 10 days. Of course, this was released on April 30th, but it's coming up pretty soon. May the 10th. It'll be this weekend. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, the director Wes Ball breathes new life into the global epic franchise set several generations in the future following Caesar's reign, in which apes are the dominant species living harmoniously and humans have been reduced to living in the shadows. As a new tyrannical ape leader builds his empire, one young ape undertakes a harrowing journey that will cause him to question all that he has known about the past and make choices that will define the future for apes and humans alike. Wes Ball is known for the Maze Runner trilogy, which I didn't see. We've got Owen Teague from It, Freya Allen from The Witcher, Kevin Durant from Lock and Key, Peter Macon from Shameless, William H. Macy from Fargo, a screenplay by Josh Friedman, who wrote World of the Worlds, and some of the writers of Avatar, The Way of Water. This looks interesting, and I'm definitely curious to check this out. Of course, money being what it is, I don't know if I'll get a chance to get out there this weekend. So hopefully you will. It was better when I used to be able to get out to these things and then I could review films for you. But unfortunately, just not the way things have come together for me. But let's play another song real quick, and we'll come back with my review of what I can watch on television.
When I
was a boy, my mother often said to me, get married, boy, and see how happy you will be. I have looked all over, still no girlie can I find, who seems to be just like the little girl I have in mind. I shall have to look around until the right one I have found. I want a girl just like the girl that married dear old Dad. She was a pearl and the only girl that Daddy ever had. A good old-fashioned girl with heart so true, one who loves nobody else but you. I want a girl just like the girl that married dear old Dad. By the old mill stream there dwells a couple old and gray. Those years have rolled away, their hearts are young today. Mother dear looks up at Dad with love light in her eyes. He feels the kiss of fond embrace while evening breathes the sky. A pair as happy as can be. So that's the kind of love for me. I want a girl just like the girl that married dear old Jack. She wants a pearl and the only girl that Daddy ever had. A good old-fashioned girl with heart so true, one who loves her body and but you. I want a girl just like the girl that married dear old Dad.
All righty, and y'all know about Dubby, right? You head to NeverlandPodcast.com. You'll find the word Dubby, a big logo for Dubby. That's Dubby.gg. We'll take you over there with a discount code of Neverland. We'll get you a discount off your order when you order from Dubby. Now, what is Dubby? Well, that is an energy drink, and it's a powder mix you mix with water that will not give you the jitters. They recommend it for gamers, and they have lots of different flavors. So go and check it out, w.gg, discount code Neverland. I have a link for you right there at neverlandpodcast.com. Just click down there towards the bottom of the page. You'll see a big W logo. All righty. And so now let's get into a little bit more of the main content. You know, I need to get a couple of more ads into this program. So I'm going to go ahead and do those, I guess, before I get to the main content. I probably should. So those of you that are on the exclusive feed or through Patreon don't have to listen to ads. You're just going to hear a little bit of a break. But for those of you just listen to the regular RSS feed, here's a couple of ads because, well, golly, you know, I need to pay the bills.
E-Man and the Masters of the Universe will be back right after these messages.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All righty, so let's talk a little bit about Knuckles, the Paramount Plus series. I did get a chance to watch that entire series. And to do a quick sum up, if you enjoyed those two Sonic movies, you're going to enjoy this. And I'm not sure why this wasn't a movie. It was a short series, just half hour episodes. I guess it had been a little too long to be a film with all the stuff going on. Although the story picks up fairly quickly, you know, it moves along at a pretty good pace. It's not too fast, but it doesn't just, you know, dawdle. But this is Wade, the deputy we met, I think even in the first movie, you know, he's got such a minor character. Wade, who actually needs some help from Knuckles. So Knuckles takes him on as a protege because Knuckles is having a hard time adjusting to life here on Earth, and Sonic at one point even tells him, hey, you know what? Try to make yourself at home. So Knuckles builds a battle arena out of the living room and gets grounded. But he really needs an outlet. He needs someone to teach. And so he selects Wade because Wade has his own battle to go and deal with, and it is a bowling tournament, which Wade, of course, is doing because his father had taught him how to bowl. And he's going to find his father, hopefully, in this bowling tournament in Reno. And so it's kind of a road adventure with being a bounty being put on them by the bad people who are trying, of course, exploit Knuckles' quills and his power that comes from it from being an alien, I guess, because him and Sonic just have that similarity, right? The quills have power. So, of course, the bad people want that. And that kind of sums up. But it becomes a road movie and a journey for Wade as he finds the warrior within, basically, in his own way. And it's not really like this hard struggle. It's just like a moment where he learns some of Knuckles' history, and he, through this weird dream sequence episode, he finds his inner warrior, and it turns a corner, kind of near the end of the series. Then we have a couple episodes of the bowling tournament, and then the bad guys, of course, show up at the bowling tournament, and just a lot of ridiculous fun. It's very cartoonish. I mean, you got basically a cartoon character running around a live action world, but cartoonish things are allowed to happen to the humans as well. So it's just goofy and silly and fun. And I had a great time watching it. My wife is not really into this. I don't think she really enjoyed the Sonic movies that much and everything, but I had her try to watch at least a second episode with me, but she's just not getting into it. She's just, I don't know, not into the fun of it. Just, it's too silly for her. And then, of course, she went to watch her anime, which was even more over the top. I must say, when I looked at some of it and I said, "This, you thought Knuckles was goofy? Look what you're watching." Because some anime is ridiculous, over the top, silly. But I guess maybe it works because it's actually a cartoon instead of live action, kind of living in a cartoon world. I don't know. But I enjoyed it. I had a great time with it. And now I don't know a whole lot about Knuckles, but I did find some information. So, of course, we know he's an echidna. He's a character, of course, from the Sonic the Hedgehog series. He's an anthropomorphic, that's one of the stuff words, anthropomorphic echidna, and the current guardian of the Master Emerald, a powerful ancient gemstone, which is kept on Angel Island. Guarding it is his solemn duty to protect from anyone seeking to abuse it, as well as the sole surviving descendant of the echidna race from the Knuckles clan. Known for his powerful and wild nature, his dominant traits are his super strength and the two spike-like knuckles on each of his gloves, from which his name is derived from, and which he can dig and climb walls with. He can also trap the wind under his dreadlocks to glide through the air, which I didn't know about until it popped up in the series. He is also one of Sonic the Hedgehog's oldest friends and rivals. He's kind of a loner by nature, independent, headstrong, serious, yet gullible and short-tempered to a fault. Entirely devoted to duty, spending most of his time on Angel Island protecting the Master Emerald, and rarely cares about anything that is no importance. When his friends and others are in need of help, however, Knuckles can always be relied on, being willing to leave his home very often. Now, there's a lot of different information about like his concept and creation. He was created by and designed by Takashi Yuda during the conception of Sonic the Hedgehog 3, which is one more Sonic game than I've played. The development team wanted a rival for Sonic, and there's dozens of possible designs inspired by numerous different animals and usage of market research about what American kids' tastes were. There was 8 different candidates, the most popular being Knuckles with his dreadlocks. One design even planned Knuckles to be more reptilian, and it had looked kind of like a dinosaur, and due to the popularity of Jurassic Park at the time, Knuckles got his long tail, and the final design is stated to be a remnant from his early, more dinosaur-looking design. When it came to his primary color, red and green were proposed candidates among the staff, while Yuji Naka was pushing towards purple. However, after conducting research on American children, it was revealed that red was overwhelmingly popular, and so they chose that for his color, and emphasis on the character was to break walls. In his younger years, Knuckles apparently had some black eyes and a more protruding chest and more defined cheekbones, and was shorter in height, but he has since grown out of these traits. He's popped up in the Sonic Riders series. We already went through his personality, some of his powers. There's a lot of different stuff, but yeah, popping up as Sonic 3, and I guess he was sort of an antagonist originally before becoming friends there with Sonic. And I just think we're going to see something similar with Shadow and Sonic 3, which is still on the way, which I wonder if Sonic 3 is going to borrow anything directly from what we've seen in the series Maybe Wade has a little bit more of an active role, something like that. But that's a little bit of what I found. There's a lot of other different characters. He's even got a list of weaknesses. And of course, being stubborn and short-tempered, he can be easily fooled, kind of shy around girls. And he suffers from phasmophobia, which is a fear of ghosts. And he was scared of King Boom Boom during the Space Colony Ark incident. Though evidently not to any debilitating extent, he was perfectly capable of engaging combat with the latter after only a brief spell of unease. Sonic and Knuckles are rivals and best friends. While they have known each other for a long time, their relationship is somewhat complicated, the two of them having been summed up as best frenemies. When the Echidna first met the Hedgehog, the two had the worst kind of encounter, and the former trying to keep the latter from stopping the Death Egg's relaunch after Dr. Robotnik and deceived him into thinking that Sonic was a thief seeking the Master Emerald. And as such, they started off as adversaries. However, when Knuckles discovers that the Doctor had tricked him, he joined forces with the Hedgehog, to stop his nemesis. Afterward, they parted ways on good terms. But because of their first impression on each other and their personalities and competing feelings, Knuckles and Sonic are not initially good friends to begin with. In fact, they're much like oil and water. While the Echidna exemplifies the mountain and is stern, serious, and immovable, the Hedgehog exemplifies the wind and is laid back, cool, and free. And we see this in the Sonic series where Sonic is kind of chilled out and like, hey, you're on Earth, you know, turn to relax and everything. And yeah, Knuckles just not getting down with it. They do tend to argue a lot, and they share a competitive rivalry with each other, and it usually comes to blows when they clash, although their confrontations have become less serious in recent times, and now more of a form of a slapstick between the two. In fact, the more they fight, the better they get along. With Knuckles' strength matching Sonic's speed perfectly, their battles are anything from climactic and are just plain funny. So I would like to see definitely more of that in coming movies and stuff like that, because Sonic is in like the first episode before Knuckles goes off on his own and gets his own storyline. Miles Tiles Prower is a close friend of Knuckles, although they didn't seem to have much relationship in the earlier games. When they first met, Knuckles and Tails were enemies, as Dr. Robotnik had tricked the Echidna into believing Tails and Sonic were intruders seeking the Master Emerald. But Knuckles shows a more amicable attitude towards Tails, particularly compared to his interactions with Sonic and others. Although the Fox may occasionally irritate the Echidna with his technobabble, and additionally, by the time of Starfall, the Starfall Islands incident, Tails' manners had begun to imitate Sonic's due to having spent so much time with him and much to Knuckles' displeasure. However, the Echidna seems to enjoy teasing his friend from time to time, such as when he scared him with the idea that Team Sonic had fought with Shadow's ghost just before entering Hang Castle during the Neo Metal Sonic incident. Nevertheless, the Echidna does care about Tails, attempting with little success to defend him from Wave's taunts during the first X-World Grand Prix. Now, there's other characters in the Sonic world. There's Amy Rose and, of course, Shadow, which we know Shadow will be in the next movie. I don't know if this Amy Rose character is going to pop up. She appears to be some sort of a hedgehog herself. And I don't know anything about that character. And there's also Rouge the Bat. There's a lot of the other characters they really haven't gotten into that I hope to see perhaps in future movies. And I'm sure they've been in other games. I think they've even released some Sonic collections. So I guess you have the opportunity to play some of the other games. They've developed a lot more story as they've gotten more 3D, and you can do a lot more video games, and stories become kind of a key thing here now. But that's everything that I have for Knuckles. And like I said, I do definitely recommend the series. I had a lot of fun watching it, watching Wade's growth, which is kind of a sudden change. I mean, he's got some gradual bits of growth, but it does seem like one episode was a turning point for him. But then you still cheer him on, and the ridiculousness of it seems to fit with a very cartoonish show. So it was kind of fun. But yeah, there is kind of almost a dramatic turnaround that's a little hard to believe. But I was able to just go with it. And he didn't really show any abilities that he didn't have before. Because, I mean, he is a deputy, so he should have something that he can do. He just maybe lacks the confidence to do it. And he has more of a personality change he needs to have. And gaining some self-confidence. So he didn't necessarily gain any abilities that he didn't already have before. So it still kind of works. But yeah, it seems kind of dramatic when he just gets almost a personality overhaul. But yet we still see shades of him being Wade. And I don't want to spoil for you who they got to play his father. But he's a classic actor, and there's been a lot of things that you have loved. I will just tell you that. I won't tell you what it is because I didn't know he was going to be in this. And when he showed up, I was like, oh, hey, it's him. So yeah. Definitely a surprise coming there. Okay, well, let me know what you thought of the songs that we played here and adding the inclusion of a couple of songs in here by sending us an email at podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. And of course, make sure you visit us at neverlandpodcast.com, where you can also see a link for Podgagement. If you happen to have a podcast and you'd like to get your reviews sent to your email from around the world, plus it makes a great easy link for people to leave reviews. So, hey, please do leave a review and share this show with others to let us know that you're having fun here. I do want to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Wilhite and Wall Show for helping me out with the introduction to the show. Don't forget, we are on Twitter and X at Neverland PCast. We have a Facebook fan page and the group that are both under Neverland Podcast. I think you can find it under the Phantom Nexus now. I guess I probably got links to it. I just realized that. I need to double check to see what those groups are under, because I have them listed still under Neverland Podcast on my notes, but I need to check that. I think I may have changed that. So go and look us up. Hopefully, I'm going to have to check my links and make sure all my links work on the website and everywhere else. I don't know why I hadn't thought of that before. I mean, this has been, how long has this been the Phantom Nexus now? And I'm just now thinking of this. I will check those links and make sure the show notes have accurate links, so you can check in the show notes. And plus show notes, you'll find links for, of course, Dubby and things like that as well. And you can help out the show. Also, we have our shop. You can get T-shirts and all kinds of different things with fun things. And I need to get a few more shirts in there, because I've been doing some fun little things out of the Bible, and because we're trying to do a different format slightly in the show. But do contact me and say something on Facebook and let me know what you thought of having these songs integrated into the show. And of course, don't forget, we do have a Patreon, and you can become a Red Circle exclusive member, and then you won't have to hear those ads anymore. But yeah, what do we say now at the end of every show? Get lost in an adventure, and I will see you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.